This morning, our scripture reading for the sermon comes out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Now, this is a passage of scripture that may be familiar to you. It's a very a commonly read scripture, especially at weddings. And it makes sense when you hear this, that's talking about love. And when we look at this and only think about this though, with just that romantic love in mind, we kind of miss kind of all that's going on here. Not that it's inappropriate to read this at a wedding, but Paul, who's writing this to the church in Corinth, is calling the church there into a deeper kind of love, not just romantic love, but a deeper love for each other. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 1 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about our connections that we have with each other and our relationships, there's so many different kinds of relationships that we live into throughout our lives. You know, we kind of start out there, you know, with that relationship that we have, you know, with our parents and then perhaps our teachers and our friends in school. But then as we go through life, you know, we connect with people in different ways. Perhaps, you know, we find, you know, our wife or our husband there, and we find, you know, that relationship. Then we, later on in life, perhaps we have children. So that's a different kind of that relationship we had when we were younger. We also have relationships with our parents that can kind of change as we go older. And throughout all of this, we have, you know, friendships, you know, we have, you know, people at work that we know, people at school. I mean, all different kinds of relationships throughout our lives. And we here in this place, in this church, you know, we have a relationship with each other as a church family. You know, we have a connection with each other. And then if you go one step further here outside these walls, you know, we have our connections here in the Wiley community. We have, you know, connections, you know, when we see them at the folks at the post office or the bank, or perhaps when we're down in Lamar at the store, you know, we run into folks, you know, that we know in Lamar or from Wiley even if they're shopping down there. And we have connections that are and relationships that are so incredibly varied. But when we think about those relationships, though, we can start thinking about how we like to approach them. And kind of what I mean by that is we sometimes get caught into kind of an idealized, you know, a view of all those relationships. Particularly in our day and age when we have so many messages, you know, thrown at us, you know, from the television to what we read, to what we see on, you know, social media, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, you name the platform and the medium. There's all kinds of images thrown at us and ideas of what relationships should look like. And a lot of times those images are grounded in trying to sell us something, to show us something, or encourage us to buy something that will somehow make us, you know, more attractive to other people for perhaps a different kind of a relationship. Or perhaps, you know, we can look like we have some kind of, you know, power or money, and so folks might be interested in having a different kind of relationship there with us. I mean, all kinds of images, messages that when we kind of absorb all this, and we just kind of how we live, I mean, we could try to avoid this, but it comes our way. When we have all that coming at us, it can make our connections with each other difficult. And then you go one step further there, where if we have something that comes between us and another person, something that can get in the middle of that relationship, perhaps an argument or a disagreement, a difference of opinion, I mean, you name it, something can get in the way of our connections, our relationships with each other. Whether it's that between us and our parents, you know, between us and our children, between us and our spouses, I mean, you name it, something can come in between there. And it can make it hard to live with that person, hard to see that person, hard to be connected with that person. Especially where we live in an age where we are called to project a certain kind of image in our relationships, a certain kind of look. And it doesn't help again with all that is so thrown at us of how things ought to look. Now, when we look here at our reading out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 here, Paul is writing this to a church that had been in conflict. Now, the church in Corinth it was a church that, as you kind of see here, and especially in our readings from before, you know, Paul had been writing to them about spiritual gifts. And it's good to have, you know, spiritual gifts. And Paul writes about celebrating all different kinds of spiritual gifts and the diversity of gifts that people bring into the church and how those gifts are useful. And one gift is not any better than the other, for all those make up the body of Christ. But the challenge that the church in Corinth had was that they were beginning to value those gifts probably a little too much. They're putting too much emphasis on those gifts. And that's kind of where you find the verse here out of verse 2 here in our reading. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. So he's referring to all those gifts that the people in the church in Corinth were valuing and really excited about. But then Paul is recalling them back to who they are, calling them back to what's truly important here. But do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Paul is calling the church in Corinth to come back to love. They have this idealized vision of what it means to be a church, to have gifts, to have no relationships even in their church. And Paul is calling them back to the main thing. Now, the love here that Paul is talking about, it's not just a love that is, you know, an emotion or a fleeting experience or something that we might idealize itself. But rather, it's a love that is grounded and centered in Christ. A love that's informed, that is taught to us, that emulates, that, you know, that mimics Christ in our lives. And when we think about that love right there, I mean, this love gets a little bit more than just, you know, the romantic love that this often alludes to when it's read at weddings. I think it is highly appropriate that this is read at weddings because that this was written to a people in a time of conflict, a time of struggle when they had lost, you know, focus of what's truly important. And I know for my own self, as I have been married and I, you know, have my relationship with, you know, my wife, there are times we have gotten off the mark. And this reading here from Paul brings us back, reconnects us. That's not, you know, the love, that romantic love that we have with each other, but rather that love that's grounded in Christ. It's a powerful message, but it goes more than just, you know, marriages and weddings. It goes into all of our lives. This love that's grounded in Christ, it's a love, if you think about, you know, how Christ showed love, you know, it was through sacrifice. He gave himself up for others. It was a love that was shown when he was washing the feet of the disciples in the upper room. It's a love that was shown when he was teaching out in the fields and being with people, of putting, God first, teaching that love from God, and also being with people when they needed, him the most. And also at times, too, having conversations that were not always easy. If you think about the gospel reading we had today, I referred to it back, last week in talking about, being in fearful, spaces or having fear and, stepping out using our gifts and how Jesus would understand, being in a fearful position. He's giving a message there, about faithfulness to the church in Nazareth that they really did not want to hear. And so much so, they were ready to run him off that cliff. But yet, Jesus loved that church or that synagogue there in Nazareth so much that he still gave that message, even when it was difficult. Now, where we live in this age with that idealized image of our relationships and the other things that we might value in our relationships, you can see how we can get off track, how we start focusing on other things and our connections with each other, rather than that love that comes from Christ. But I believe there is a way forward for us. There is a way for us to live into our faith when we read this passage and we're thinking about our relationships with each other, especially when they are difficult or when we're struggling. For a moment here, I want you to think about a person that you are struggling with right now. And being Super Bowl Sunday, I recognize it could be a Patriots fan. It could be a Rams fan. It could be the Broncos that you are wishing were in the Super Bowl instead. It could also be that person that you had an argument with at work. It could be that person that you cut off or they cut you off when going into the store and perhaps an exchange took place. Or perhaps you're struggling, with your spouse or your significant other. You've tried to have a conversation with them and you're just not finding time for that conversation because you have so gotten busy with life. There's so much happening that that relationship has drifted. Or it could be any other, struggle you may have with another person. But when you think about that relationship, though, when you're thinking about that, and I believe there's a reason. If a person comes to mind for you right now, I believe there's a reason for that. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. When you're thinking about that relationship, how would that relationship be different if you looked at it with a love that's grounded in Christ? How would that connection be transformed if you put Christ first in that relationship? And when I think about that, people I have struggled with and struggle with now even, when I think about that relationship and moving forward with it, I think about having a conversation with them. It would not be an easy conversation by any means. And I know that if I come into that kind of a conversation with this kinds of struggles, I know I need to be ready, one, to have the conversation, but also ready to have a conversation about forgiveness. Asking forgiveness probably from myself for something I may have done wrong. Or perhaps coming to this conversation with a spirit of humility, but also concern for that person. And perhaps, putting that person's needs first in that conversation rather than my own self, kind of that sacrificial love, that Christ had shown. It's not going to be an easy conversation. And I believe when we step into those conversations with people whom we care about, be it, our husband or our wife, be it, our superior at work, be it, the person across the road from us, or perhaps, the parents I need to talk to, you can think about so many different ways and how that conversation can go. And I don't think it will often get resolved quickly. Because when we're really working on our relationships, it may take a little while. It might take a few hours. It may take days, weeks, perhaps even a lifetime, reconnecting and reestablishing with that person. But as we move forward with that love of Christ in our lives, when we're putting that forward in our lives, I believe God is with us as we reconnect, as we renew our connections and relationships, as we are reminded of what's important, that love of Christ. So brothers and sisters, as we reconnect, as we renew, as we put the main thing, and that is the love of Christ in our lives, let us move forward with that, knowing God is with us, knowing the Holy Spirit is with us, knowing that Christ is with us, and we're living into His example. Brothers and sisters, living out our faith is not an easy thing, especially in moments like this. But I believe we are called to do it. We're not the first people who have struggled with this, as we can attest to here by Paul writing this to the church in Corinth. For the people back in Corinth needed to hear this and be reconnected as much as we need to reconnect with others. So let us reconnect with that love of Christ in our lives, now and forever. Amen.